Argument now in the case of Holton against the Indiana Horse Racing Commission.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please this honorable court.
Mr. Young, please wait.
I'm sorry.
We do allow your opponent to get a seat. Mr. Young.
Thank you, sir. May it please this honorable court. My name is Roger Young, and I represent John P. Holton, Jr. Mr. Holton owns a racehorse who ran a race at a state licensed...
Can you tell me what successful 1983 case had a less trivial issue in play than is involved in this case?
I don't believe I can answer that, Your Honor. I don't have the answer.
Although the hobby kit in a very famous Supreme Court due process case is in a close race.
A horse race.
It may have finished third. Proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Holton ran his horse at a state-licensed paramutual track, Hoosier Park in Anderson, Indiana, and the horse was set back one place from second to third by the track judges for committing an infraction. The purse difference was $6,250. Mr. Holton attempted to appeal the judge's decision to the Indiana State Horse Racing Commission, but the appeal was rejected by the commission's executive secretary, Joe Gorachek. Holton then filed this suit seeking damages.
What is your best authority for the proposition that the Constitution requires an administrative appeal within a bureaucratic apparatus?
I would suggest, Your Honor, Bell versus Burson.
The Supreme Court has said that even people who are sentenced to life imprisonment don't have a constitutional entitlement to an appeal. Why would it be that there's no constitutional entitlement to appeal a criminal judgment that sends you to jail, but there is a constitutional entitlement to appeal a steward's decision setting a horse back from second place to third place?
I believe that right is established in Bell versus Burson, 402 U.S. 535, also Barry versus Baracci, 443 U.S. 55.
Uh-huh.
And I think particularly on point is Edelberg versus Illinois Racing Board, a case decided by this court at 540 Federal 2nd 279. Also Zinnerman versus Birch at 494 U.S. 113 at pages 125 and 126.
Yeah, I'm familiar with all those cases. None of them establishes this requirement, but just to be sure, I'll go read them again.
Thank you. That, Your Honors, is our contention. The complaint was dismissed in its entirety by the district court based upon the defendants, Indiana Horse Racing Commission, and Joe Gorachek's motion to dismiss, citing 11th Amendment immunity and lack of standing, amongst other things. Holton concedes that his damage claims are barred, but that he should be entitled to an order requiring Gorachek, the executive director of the Racing Commission, to process and allow his appeal to go forward. Holton's issue on appeal is that his claim against Gorachek in his official capacity should not be dismissed.
Voice up, please.
Holton's issue on appeal is that his claim against Gorachek in his official capacity should not be dismissed. Understanding that this is a de novo review of the district court's decision, I would still first like to address the district court's reasoning for the dismissal. The district court felt that the ex parte Young exception to the 11th Amendment was not applicable to the facts of this case because the relief sought was retrospective rather than prospective. Excuse me. That point is made quite clear in Edelman versus Jordan at 415 U.S. 651. And that case is quite clear on that point, that retrospective relief is not something that comes within the ex parte Young exception to the 11th Amendment. However, we believe that Edelman, also Green versus Mansour at 474 U.S. 64, and cases such as Elliott versus Hines at 786 Federal 2nd 298 make it equally clear that if the relief requested is prospective in nature, that is, if the relief, if granted, will stop a continuing violation of federal law, that there is no 11th Amendment immunity. An order to Joe Gorachek to process Holton's appeal would be prospective in the sense that the appeal, the relief, would occur in the future and would, we believe, stop a continuing violation.
But that obviously can't be enough, because then, of course, you could get damages, because the payment of damages will occur in the future.
The object of this case is simply the appeal and nothing more. And I think the case of...
But then the point you're making is the appeal is equitable relief, not that it comes in the future. Because, as I say, the payment of damages comes in the future.
But we believe the
appeal... I'm trying to help you.
Okay. Thank you. The way I see it is that if Holton's appeal were requesting the court to redetermine the order of finish of the race or to directly address something about the judge's decision, that would certainly be asking for retrospective relief. But we're not doing that. We're simply asking that Joe Goracek be ordered to process the appeal. I might add that if the appeal were successful, the payout, if you will, this is not a suit for damages. The payout would come from the purse account maintained by Hoosier Park at Anderson, Indiana. That does not contain state funds. That's an account maintained by the track. If the appeal were successful, that's where the money would come from. I also do not believe that the order, if allowed, the order for appeal, would directly impose any financial burden on the state of Indiana, and I would cite Quarren versus Jordan at 440 U.S. 332, for that, in support of that proposition. While the district court's basis was that the relief sought was retrospective rather than prospective, the defendants also raised the issue of standing. And since this is a review de novo, I would like to speak very briefly on that. We believe that Holton has been denied and continues to be denied procedural due process. Holton had a legitimate property interest in the purse that his horse won based upon its order of finish. The order of finish is based upon an objective criteria. And I think that was discussed and pointed out in the Edelberg versus Illinois Racing Board case.
Why is it objective?
Well, it's objective.
There's a rule infraction that's subjective, isn't it?
Well, but there is a rule that says you shall do this or you shall not do that. There are videotapes of the race, and simply by observation, one should be able...
Why is this any different than an NFL game where there's instant replay and you have to decide was this...
Well,
control of the catch before he went out of bounds or not.
The next time the Packers play the Bears, the game will be halted pending review by the Seventh Circuit.
Well, I would suggest one difference is they're not playing for money as such. They're not playing for a purse.
What? I missed that.
We said, why would this be different than an NFL game? The players play because they're salaried to play. I don't believe the winner of an NFL game gets to take home X number of dollars on account of
winning. Have you heard of the
they
playoffs?
The Super Bowl.
There may be bonuses.
The winner's share of the Super Bowl. Okay.
There may be bonuses. There may be incentives written into the contracts. I don't know the answers to those questions. However... As I said, I do believe that procedural due process requires an opportunity for Mr. Holton to be heard at some meaningful point and at some meaningful time prior to his horse being set back and him not earning the purse that his horse actually earned. And again, I submit to the court that the on point is the Edelberg versus Illinois Racing Board, and I will quote very, very briefly from that case, quoting, there is no doubt in light of recent decisions by the Supreme Court that due process requires a prior meaningful hearing before an individual is deprived of any significant property interest. And that's at page 285 and also footnote 9 of that case.
Yes, that plus your citation to Bell suggests that you still have not grasped my question. The stewards provided a hearing. The argument you're making is that you're entitled not only to a hearing, but also to an administrative appeal as of right. And so I come back to my question, what case establishes the entitlement not only to a hearing, but also to an administrative appeal?
Well, Your Honor, I don't believe the stewards had a hearing in the sense that Mr. Holton was allowed to be present, comment, and give input. The stewards may have spoken amongst themselves. I don't know, and there's been no discovery. I don't know what the stewards did or didn't do. But I do know that we've alleged that Mr. Holton had no input or opportunity to provide input to that decision. So I apologize. I now more fully understand your question, Judge. I don't believe the facts of this case would show that Mr. Holton has ever had
the thing that you say in this litigation your client was denied is not an oral hearing at which evidence will be presented. It's an administrative appeal. If your complaint was that the stewards did not provide an adequate hearing, that would be a different kind of litigation. But that was not what I understood this suit to be requesting.
May I respond?
Yeah, please.
Judge, I don't believe any hearing, as I would describe it, was ever provided Mr. Holton, because Mr. Holton was never allowed to provide any input to
the
decision.
So why was the complaint filed saying, I was entitled to this administrative appeal? The complaint should have said, I was entitled to an evidentiary hearing before the stewards. Okay, thank you, Mr. Young.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Babbitt.
Your Honor, Robin Babbitt representing the appellees, the Indiana Horse Racing Commission, Joe Gorczak, both in his individual and representative capacities. Obviously, we think that the judgment of Judge McKinney that was ordered on his ruling on the motion to dismiss is in all respects appropriate. That was granted in favor of all defendants on May 18, 2004, and we would point out that there were several issues that were raised, including the claim for damages against both the commission and Mr. Gorczak in his official capacity that were dismissed and not contested. The claims against Mr. Gorczak in his individual capacity, which the court made a qualified immunity analysis of and determined that those claims were also inappropriate. And so we come before this court really on the sole issue of whether the relief sought was prospective or retrospective, and whether Judge McKinney erred in granting the motion to dismiss with respect to Mr. Gorczak.
Prospective and retrospective, as you have already heard, is misleading. The question is whether it's legal or equitable. And I wonder in what sense it is not equitable relief to say something like, hold a new hearing. That's not an award of damages.
As the court said in Papasan and as Judge McKinney cited in this
decision. Don't talk about what other judges said. Just explain in a straightforward way why, in your view, the command, hold a new hearing, is not equitable relief for purposes of Ex parte Young.
It is equitable relief that, in essence, grants potentially damages as the remedy, which ultimately would come to Mr. Holton as a result of his appeal.
I don't understand that. If you think about many decisions, they take the very recent one, like Verizon Maryland against the Public Service Commission of Maryland, which deals with the way in which state commissions are regulating telephone service. The Supreme Court made it very clear in Verizon that it was within the power under Ex parte Young to require the state commission to hold a new hearing. Now, why would that relief be permissible under Ex parte Young in Verizon, even though it might very much change the rates that were being charged and the way money changes hands in the future, and not be permissible here?
I believe the distinction that the courts have made was because that would be a continuing violation of constitutional or federal law, which would result in issues of federal supremacy, so the court has decided that they need to act in those circumstances. And I've not read the Verizon case, Your Honor.
Oh, well, then. Okay, go ahead.
All right. We believe, Your Honor, that there are limited issues on this appeal and that the new authority which has been raised is in violation of Rule 34G, which is referenced in this court's rules, of not referencing cases which had not been briefed before this court. There was no reference to the Edelberg case, to the Zimmerman case, to the Burson case, those cases were not referenced to this court, nor were they brought to the attention of the district
court. Don't worry, they're completely irrelevant.
All right. And we're aware, as Judge McKinney was not aware, of any case when he looked at the qualified immunity analysis. He indicated that it certainly wasn't clearly established and that Mr. Holton had established.
Mr. Young rephrased his point just before he sat down, and perhaps it's too late for him to do that. But what would be wrong as an original matter with the claim, I'm entitled to an opportunity to present evidence and present my views to the decision maker, and I was never offered that opportunity by state actors?
That,
as an original due process claim?
Well, as an original due process claim, the response, Your Honor, would be there was no property right. And there is no property right in a potential purse that may be awarded, even where a horse finishes and is placed in a particular position. I believe
that seems very doubtful, because the Supreme Court understands property to be something to which you're entitled contingent on particular facts. And the horse that finishes second is entitled to something, or here more particularly the owner, since the horse hasn't filed his own suit.
Well, Your Honor, I believe that the Edelman case said that there is no property interest in a purse until all the conditions of the race have been complied with. So our position would be that there is no due property interest in a purse until the race is determined to be official after the hearing of the judges who look at the tapes and determine whether an infraction has in fact taken place. So, Your Honor, for those reasons, we believe that Judge McKinney's order was appropriate in all respects. Unless the court has further questions, we would ask that his decision of May 18th be in all respects affirmed.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement.